anatomy of the limbic system. Well, to be honest, if you were sat here with me in the room and I had a brain, I would still struggle to point at the bits of the limbic system, and you would struggle to recognise the bits I was struggling to point at. It's maybe, hang on, let me start my timer, 5 minutes. This is going to be a bit of a challenge, but it's probably best to think of the limbic system as, well, from a functional perspective, as what it does. The limbic system is involved in the emotional processing of sensory inputs and then the associated effects on behaviour. Think about how the smell of freshly baked bread makes you feel, particularly if you're hungry, or how a horror film makes you creep backwards on the sofa and grab a pillow for protection, even though you know it's only a film. Those things, that sort of thing, we can assign to the limbic system. See, the problem with the anatomy of the limbic system, we can talk, and we will talk about a couple of specific parts of the brain, but the more we look at the brain, we try to assign specific tasks to specific areas of the brain, because that's nice and neat, right? But the more we look, the more we find circuits between more and more regions, and that all these things are interlinked and interconnected, and that's the complexity of the brain, which isn't a very nice thing when you're a learner, because it's very hard. But that's the purpose of these 5 minute podcasts, right? Is to distill it down. So the limbic system is linking sensory inputs with autonomic and voluntary responses. For example, in a chilly room, autonomically, your body adjusts blood flow to the skin and the peripheries to conserve heat. But also, we might think about putting on a jumper or doing up the zip on your top or turning on the heating. Voluntary responses, if you like. And we've learned about things that we like sugar and cakes and how to get these things. And we've learned about things that make us afraid. Spiders, snakes, maybe heights, and how we might deal with those things, how we should respond to those things. So memory is clearly part of the limbic system, or linked to the limbic system. So think about the emotional processing of sensory inputs and how that affects behavior. In terms of parts of the brain, limbic refers to the border. So it was first described as looking like a border, a horseshoe shape, right next to the diencephalon, the thalamus and the hypothalamus, kind of like a border between the diencephalon and the cerebral cortex. Olfactory tracts and nerves appear to be direct extensions of this. Key structures would be the hypothalamus, which will drive autonomic responses. And autonomic processes through a number of mechanisms. The amygdala has a lot of sensory inputs, has a lot of outputs to the basal ganglia, which can influence movement, behavior, has outputs to the hypothalamus, has outputs to the limbic cortex. So the amygdala is important in emotional experiences, memories, subjective feelings, tying all that together, right? Classically, people like to associate fear with the amygdala, which is not wrong. We talk about cingulate and parahippocampal gyri, so areas of grey matter associated with this. To be honest, the more people look at it, the more structures get added to the list of belonging to the limbic system. And if you look at different resources, you'll see different lists. But the hippocampus is important in memory. That's certainly associated with or part of the limbic system. That's a big curly part of the brain. We're out in the temporal lobe here. Nucleus accumbens is associated with reward circuits, behavior, motivation. That's associated with the limbic system. Mammillary bodies, part of memory and recall. They're found at the ends of the fornix on either side. The thalamus receives lots of sensory inputs and sends those sensory inputs on to limbic structures. And if you look, the list will go on and on. But if you think about the parts of the brain that are involved in behavior, like parts of the prefrontal cortex, and if you think about how the basal ganglia is involved in motivation and drive and what have you, as well as, and the, you know, so the limb, when we talk about the limbic system, it's not really a part of the brain on its own. It's parts of the brain that are taking sensory inputs, adding on that subjective feeling about those sensory inputs, associating those with memory and behavior. That's the limbic system. And if you learn neuroanatomy and you think about the parts of the brain that do those functions, that do the sensory inputs, that do the behavior, that do the drive and motivation, they're tied into the limbic system. So that, oh, there's my timer, check me out. That is how we should probably start off by describing and looking at the limbic system. I hope that helped. It helped me.